I have to be honest with you and tell you, I have the biggest smile on my face thinking about this following interview, and we haven't even begun it yet. Why? Because it's about food. It's about food, my favorite topic. And on the line with me is Chef Rabbi Joshua Weisberg. Rabbi, thank you for chatting to me this afternoon. Wow.
It's really a pleasure.
I you can hear the smile on my face. I'm just thinking you must have been like the biggest.
I'm smiling also because the music, I was listening to the music you're playing. I've never heard a Jewish music played to a South African beat before. I was very impressed. I'm going to have to get the reference later. That was fantastic.
I actually should have back announced that. I wanted to get to you because I was just so enthusiastic to do so. That was Goni G, South African artist, with his rendition of Adon Olam. And you're absolutely spot on, Rabbi.
Amazing.
It brought such local, beautiful sounds to that song. That is. Lots of reasons to smile this afternoon. I'm just thinking that back in the day, you must have been like the biggest chap on the marriage market imaginable. Not only learned and a rabbi, but a cook. Where did the chef thing come from?
Well, the truth is the chef thing came from my father. My father's a law professor, but he's retired now. And he used to teach law all day at university, and then come in the evening and cook for us dinner every night. He just loved the combination of the intellectual work of debating in class, Socratic method, and then at night cooking. And so I followed in his footsteps. I just learned how to cook and love cooking and teach Talmud during the day and then come home and cook at night. So it's a family tradition for us.
And I'm presuming you're halfway decent. I mean, that's what I'm presuming.
Yes.
Trying to get you to puff yourself up a bit here, but it's not going to happen with a rabbi. I kind of get that. Okay, so let's get into your kitchen. How do you personally get ready for Shabbat?
I'll tell you. What we do is, we got married in Israel, my wife and I, and we had almost no family here. And so we were guests every Shabbat at the beginning with wonderful families, with great meals. And we decided very early on that we wanted to share that with other people. And so from almost half a year after we got married, we moved into an apartment with a huge living room, and we would have 20, 30 guests every Friday night. And so you learn by experience what works, what doesn't work. And a few years ago, we've had people come to us, tour groups that come to Israel, and they would like to reserve a meal. And I'm just telling you right now in my kitchen, I just finished making about 10 different salads. We're having 30 evangelical ministers over for dinner tomorrow night. Every few weeks, we have groups of people from around the world, Christians, Muslims, Jews, and we just love to share the warmth and the food and the Torah with them. It's a winning combination. If you're smiling, you can imagine what they do when they come in the house.
I am smiling, and I'm thinking what an absolute mind blow it must be for so many of them. This probably is the first time that many of them are experiencing a Shabbat, never mind prepared by a chef. You know, normally we have to put up with our grandmothers, not the best in the world cooking, but here we're getting like a chefy, the whole experience.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really pretty amazing.
We had recently a group of Black Pentecostal pastors from the southern United States, and it was just an unbelievable experience for them and for us. They just had never experienced Shabbat. They didn't know really any Jews, and it was just magical for them.
So
we've stayed in touch.
Take me into the dinner that you're preparing for tomorrow night. Okay. What are you cooking for the 30?
First of all, I make obviously challahs. I use a spelt flour for that, and it's a specific recipe that I do make enormous challahs, like 2 or 3 kilograms each, and set them on the table. They're gorgeous. And then we usually have four courses. We have about 10 different salads. We make harissa and schug. I make my own hummus with lamb inside, and we have preserved lemons that we make ourselves. It's just all the table is just decked with food.
So I'm going to stop you there for just 1 second because I'm looking at your surname, which is telling me Ashkenazi, Ashkenazi, Ashkenazi.
Yes.
I'm hearing Schug and Harissa, and I'm hearing Sephardi, Sephardi, Sephardi. And I'm thinking, interesting that that's what you're calling
them. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's exactly what we try to show them, is that Israel today is just a mix of cultures, a mix of flavors. Everyone's borrowing from everybody else. And it's one of the most dynamic culinary scenes in the world, I think, just because you can find Jews here or from India, from Kurdistan, from Morocco, from Finland, everywhere. And everyone brings the food together. It's really just an extraordinary culinary scene here.
I interrupted you.
We very much emphasize that.
I interrupted you. I was eating the courses as you were talking. We had the, and then what follows?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Wait, I missed you there. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I interrupted you while you were going through the meal. We got to the harissa and the,
there we go.
I want
all
you
right.
to finish.
Then we do a chicken soup with knedlach. But the thing is, we discovered a few years ago that if you put pumpkin, Israel has these huge pumpkins, into the chicken soup early on, it melts into the soup and makes it a golden color with a very, very rich flavor. So that's sort of an innovation that we came up with. It's unbelievable, unforgettable. We once had an Israeli tour guide here, a very gruff Israeli kibbutznik, and he started crying during the soup and went outside, and we thought it was, you know, something had happened. And I went to him and I said, "What happened?" He said, "You remind me of my grandmother. I love my grandmother."
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
There you
go. Beautiful.
The
knedlach
do it every time. Absolutely. The main part of the meal, the really exciting part, is I smoke my own pastrami. I don't know if you have that in South Africa so much, but in New York and Montreal, it's a very big thing. So I brine a brisket for about a week in different spices, salt, sugar, and then sous vide it for about 2 days. I've got a whole stack, many kilograms of beef sous vide right now, and then I'll smoke them all tomorrow in pepper and coriander. And it's just, that's just meat that you've never, if you've never had it, then you've never had anything that good. It's really just incredible. Smoke, salt, spicy.
Served
fantastic
with
flavor.
What?
And I bring that to the table hot. So that usually on its own, we serve that together with, you know, rice and baked potatoes. But usually the pastrami just steals the night. That's really what, you know, crispy on the outside, fatty, meaty, just phenomenal. That's really the highlight.
I think we're familiar with pastrami, very definitely so, every deli in South Africa, but not to the extent that you are in. I mean, I can hear your accent. You're obviously ex the United States. I think it's far more.
Well, I'm Canadian, but I know the Montreal pastrami exactly.
I think that's it's more of a thing there. We eat it, but not. I think we do the brisket more than pastrami. It's the same kind
right.
of meat.
So here it's a brisket, same meat, but it's meat that's been brined in all sorts of different spices and different kinds of salts and sugars, and it just gives it a totally different flavor.
You're such a surprise. I so thought we were going to be having a discussion about like kugel and and cholent, and I thought you were going to be so much more conventional from a food perspective, not cutting edge.
Well, I tell you, cholent we do. We have a lot of birthright groups come to our house. We have a large living room, host up to 50 people. And the birthright comes when they come during the day, so they want cholent. So then we have an enormous pot. And it's just a pleasure. I got to say, you know, you bring food to people, you make them smile, the house is warm. Just fantastic. And for dessert, we make our own chocolate pralines and malabi. Malabis, I don't know if you're familiar with that. Malabis,
yeah, I do.
Israeli rose water pudding and a sort of a sour blueberry sauce on top.
How do you stay within the boundaries of kashrut? I mean, isn't malabi a milk dessert?
Aha, very good. So yes, so we make malabi with coconut milk.
Oh my goodness.
I think it's actually better. So
wow,
if anyone would like the recipe, you're welcome to give me a call and I'll give it to you.
I could talk to you for hours. Yeah. Tell me something. Did you take a conventional, unappealing Ashkenazi dish and turn it into something great by adapting it somewhat, by spicing it up, by, I don't know, have you got that on your repertoire somewhere?
Well, I think what we mostly do, and less of that, because most of the people who come to our house really want traditional foods. And so like little things like adding pumpkin to the soup and things like that. But mostly we want to give them that flavor. What we do to spice things up is mix different traditions. So like you say, the Yemenite and the Moroccan, bring in the different flavors. Like, you know, pickled lemons is not something on your average Ashkenazi plate. And, but it's one of the best flavors you'll ever eat. We try to mix the flavors, make it very Israeli.
I don't know why my head is going off to that movie Kazablan, where the young Yoram Gaon is feeding the gefilte fish to the cat under the table, thinking, you know, what am I getting myself into here? They could not be worse. And I kind of get it.
I'll tell you about the gefilte fish. We have a lot of children. So my 10-year-old said the other day, he said, "Don't serve gefilte fish. You'll make them hate Judaism." So you want them to like us, Dad. Don't give them gefilte fish. So we brine our own salmon and serve our own version of lox with, make it with coffee. And we do stuff like that. But gefilte fish, Haven't done often.
What does your house look like on Saturday during the? It must look like it has been bombed. I'm just thinking 30 people, dishes.
It's a system. I have, you know, kids who want to work with us, and you know, they get paid well, and we clean up the table. We have a whole system. Put it all in the dishwasher and stack it on the side for after Shabbat, and the house is in about an hour is just back to regular, table set for the next day. And we have the whole family gets, not the whole family, there are kids who don't love it, but most of the family gets involved, and we just clean up after real quick.
Let's get real. The expense involved in preparing a meal like that must be considerable. I'm just wondering, how does one accomplish Shabbat on a budget if you don't have means?
So what we did was, for many years, we just set aside it, you know, Miser money and different ways of saving money, and just had guests from around the world every Shabbat. At one point, people started asking us if we could occasionally host groups, and then they would pay for it. So today we work with tourist agencies around the world who say, listen, we have a group from here. We had the Wall Street Journal editorial board once came to our house for dinner. Everything you can imagine. And then they come and they say, you know, and then we charge them for the meal. So they get, it's a, you know, a win-win. We love doing the work, and it also
Where do we find you? Are you on the net? I mean, if you're a South African wanting to go to Israel.
ChefRabbiJosh.com. ChefRabbiJosh.com, and you're super welcome to be in touch. And we really a pleasure to have anybody come over. We have Jewish group, Christian groups, everybody you can imagine. Every color, every
creed. And is this in Jerusalem?
We just love people. Yeah, we're in Jerusalem at the entrance to the city. And the truth is we also open up the house during the week. We've had we have groups come during the week often. You know, not everyone, their schedule works with Shabbat. And then I just had an evangelical group coming in, or a group of German diplomats are coming on Sunday, and they want a toned down meal, and I usually give a talk. I give a talk about, you know, what I do and about Judaism and about being a rabbi. And so they're interested in that. So we do all during the week as well.
Chef Rabbi Weisberg, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for a delicious 10 minutes. Loved every moment.
It was really, really a pleasure.
Shabbat shalom and b'tavon.
And I hope you you have my number now, so just give me a call next time you're in Jerusalem and I'll show you everything.
Oh, you bet. You better believe I will.